Let's learn this mimer from Rav Pinchas Friedman, the Shvilei Pinchas, for Parshas Dvarim. Really, it's for Shabbos Chazon, which Emirtz Hashem is this Shabbos. And we're going to read the Haftorah from Yeshayahu Navi. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Asher Chazal Yudav Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us at the end of Masechta Tainis that Mishacharev Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the first bias, Nitkatsu Kitos Kitos Shel Pirchei Kehuna. Groups of young Kohanim gathered together, Maftechos HaHechol B'yodim, they had the keys to open up the Hechol, the Holy of Holies. The Olul Agag, as the enemies were coming to destroy the Mikdash, they rose up to the roof of the Heichal. The Omer Lefarim, they turned to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hoil v'lo zachinu lios gizbarim ne'emonim. The gizbar is the one who's holding on to the keys, and apparently we weren't reliable. You maftechos misurim lecha. We're going to return the maftechos of the Heichal to you. Vizarkum klapi mala, and they threw him up towards the heaven. Viyatsa ke'ein pisas yad, it's like the lower part of the hand, came out from Shamayim. Vikiblasan mehem, and accepted the keys. Now, what we want to study is this pisas yad that came out from Shamayim, was it from the Kedusha, you know, from the Tzad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or was it from what we call the Klipa, you know, the powers of evil, like the Sitra Achra? In other words, what is the Yad going to do with these Maftechos? So if we take a look at the Yad Yosef... I mean,
is this literal?
I don't know if it's literal. I think it's more of a symbolic vision of a Yad. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to see is on the Musaf service for the Shalosh Regalim, we say the following: Ein anu yicholim lalos v'leiros l'shtachos v'lfanecha. We don't have the ability to go up to Yerushalayim and there bow in front of you in your mikdash. Mipnei hayad shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha, because of a yad that came and took over the mikdash. And says the Yad Yosef, this Yad, Shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha, which we mentioned in the Musaf of Yontiv, is none other than that pisas Yad that was sent min Hashamayim to take back the keys of the Heichal. So this will shed a whole new kavana, a whole new intention on when we recite this passage in the Tefillas Musaf, Mipnei Yad Shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha. He says, "Sepirchei kunaya olim legagos lizro kamaftechos velomar harei maftechos mesuras lecha asei atah b'migdash kirtzonecha." So Hashem allows this pisas yad to take over the maftechos, and the pirchei kuno are hoping that maybe the pisas yad will take over the mikdash, but it will not destroy us. V'lo tishlot ha'oyev aleinu, it won't take our physical bodies. Rak ata asei bi'atzmecha mashetirtze. Yotza kimin pisas yad ulekacham u'masara sam bi'ad nevuchanetzar. So apparently this pisas yad is one of those shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's not what we call a malach tov, a good malach, but rather some sort of representation or a shliach of the sitra achra. And what does the pisas yad do with the maftechos? It hands over the maftechos to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar destroys the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we say, that because of this Yad that was holding on to the Maftechos and passed on the Maftechos to Nebuchadnezzar, therefore, Ein anu yicholim lalos v'leiros l'shtachos l'fanech. It's that Yad shenishtalcha b'mikdashecha. So for the balance of this essay, this Yad is going to be called the Yad of the Klipa. Klipa always represents, you know, the powers of the Sitra Achra.
Right.
So he says the following, that the Sitra Achra was now given permission by Almighty God to pick up these Maftechos and hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to add now a word from the Arizal, which is in the middle column here on page 1. And he says, So masha anu omri bitfilas musu b'nei ayad shen shtalt mikdashecha yuvan al pi parashas truma, the Zohar in parashas truma, sod chalon echad anikwe chalon zira ubo tsuris yad v'kofuf tachas kanfei ashkina ubi'es ha'churban sholat al beis ha'migdash v'nechrav v'zehu sh'anachnu omrim ibnei ayad shen shtalchu mikdashecha. So there's some sort of a yad that appears in the window, and that yad has the power to destroy the Beis HaMikdash if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the yad the reshus to do so. And at the moment of Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed that yad to control and in this sense destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Zohar says that up in Shamayim there's a kochav, there's a certain star that has the tzura of a yad. It looks like a yad.
Really?
That's what it says in the Zohar.
What star it is?
Right. I don't know which constellation it is of stars, but anyway, there's one star that looks like a yad, and that's the yad of the klipa. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, that yad was completely controlled by the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah was shore in the Beis HaMikdash and had complete domination over that yad. As a result, Shevet Yehuda was able to fulfill the bracha that was bestowed upon it by Yaakov Avinu of Yodcha Bi'oref Oivecha, that the yad of Shevet Yehuda was connected that yad of the klipa, which is up in Shamayim, and it was able to destroy and protect against any evil from that yad of the klipa, to be machnia, to control the oivim of Klal Yisrael. So the yad of the klipa will now be controlled by Yehuda. That's when the Beis HaMikdash stood, and the Shekhinah was in the Beis HaMikdash, and now the strong yad of Yehuda is able to control the yad of the klipa. And what does the yad of Yehuda do with the yad of the klipa? The yad of the klipa now becomes the tool, so to speak, of Yehuda to destroy our enemies. However, when Shevet Yehuda unfortunately worships Avodah Zarah, and we're now talking about the time that led up to the Churban of Bais Rishon, then that yad now becomes an independent power of the Kochos Elyonim, and now it becomes a klipa that's able to destroy Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael. So in other words, what determines whether that yad could be used to destroy our enemies or just the opposite? And it all depends on what goes down here, what goes on down here. If we fulfill our mission and we are observant, meaning we are dedicated and loyal to Hashem as servants of God, then we can use that yad to destroy our enemies. That's called Yadcha V'Yoref Oivecha. If, on the other hand, down here we are worshiping idols, Chas V'Shalom, then the yad upstairs becomes the yad klipa, and it's given the reshus by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the Mikdash and, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael. Here, the Arizal says the following. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Sod Hashem Li'Ireyov. What is the Sod? What is the secret that is in the hands of the Ireyov? Says the Arizal, you should identify Sod Hashem Li'Ireyov with Mipnei Ayad Sheneshtalchu Mikdashecha, which means that there's a secret power here in the universe. When the Churban HaBayis takes place, because of the chatoim of Klal Yisrael, that the Jewish people rebelled against God and His Torah, then the klipa, which is meant to be under control of the Shekhinah, also rises up, so to speak, in rebellion. And at that point, Shevet Yehuda loses its control over the yad of the klipa. And instead of the klipa now being a vehicle in the hands of Yehuda to destroy our enemies, the exact opposite takes place. And now the klipa, this yad, becomes the tsaro on the tsar, meaning the enemy over Yerushalayim, over the Mikdash. And that's called Nishtalcha Yad Shenishtalcha Mikdashecha. So we determine whether or not this Yad, this Klipa, would be subservient to the Shechina if we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, or the opposite. It becomes rebellious, it becomes independent of Yehuda, and it functions as a destructive power to destroy the Beis HaMikdash itself. So basically, this Pisas Yad that we said came down from Shamayim to receive the keys, and now those keys are being handed over by the Pisas Yad to Nebuchadnezzar. That's the Klipa, which when Shevet Yehuda was reigning supreme and the Brach of Yad Chabiyar Faivecha was fulfilled, the Klipa would destroy the enemies of the Jewish people. But now, because it's no longer Yad Chabiyar Faivecha, Shevet Yehuda is guilty of worshipping idols, the Rishus is now given to this Yad to do whatever has to be done with this Yad, even if it means to bring about the destruction of the Mikdash. And that's exactly what the Pisas Yad did when it received these Maftechos from the Pirkei Kohuna and passed on these Maftechos to Nebuchadnezzar, who's going to enter into the Heichal. He's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash with this power of the Yad Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashecha.
So this is something interesting. I just looked on Google for a star that looks like a hand, and I got something. They took a picture, NASA took a picture, and it come up, it looks like a hand. Mm-hmm. It's basically a star that exploded, and it's called the Hand of God.
Interesting. Wow. So I wouldn't mess around with that exploded star. You know, it really might have the Klipa powers.
Okay, so when Shevet Yehuda sins, so they lose the power of Yad Oref Oivecha,
right?
And then they get the upper hand, as they say.
Right. Instead of the Yad being a vehicle or a vessel in the hands of Yehuda to destroy our Oivim, the Yad becomes an independent power. And now the Yad is given Rishus to rebel, so to speak, against God and destroy even God's Beis HaMikdash. And that's the Yad Shenishtalchu Mikdashecha, which is the Yad that received the Maftechos from the Pirkei Kohuna at the time of the Churban and gave over those Maftechos to Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the Mikdash. So this Yad is a very powerful Yad.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a humble kind of piece of Yad. It's really a powerful Klipa, which may be identified perhaps, according to the Zohar, with this star up in heaven that is the Tzuras of a Yad. That is the Yad of a Klipa. And we can do whatever we want with the Klipa. If we can go one way or the other, if we do the right, you know, the fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem, then the Yad and the Klipa could be a vehicle in our hands. We have control, and it could be the Oref Aivecha. We could use that Yad to destroy our Oivin.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other extreme, if we're not fulfilling the will of God, if we're guilty of sin, then the Yad becomes a Yad of Klipa, which instead of destroying our enemies, is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's another Pasuk in Tehillim that should be mentioned here. Yomru Geule Hashem Asher Ga'olam Miyad Tsar. Again, the word Yad appears, and the Baal Shem Tov says that this pasuk, with the mentioning of the Yad, is a reference to the Yad of the Klipa. Now, this Yad of Klipa could be functioning in one of two ways. It could be functioning on behalf of Klal Yisrael, as we said before, Yad Chabiyar Faivecha, or on the opposite. It's the Yad Tsar. Yad Tsar means it's the hand that's used by our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be the hand that gives over the Maftechos to Nebuchadnezzar, and that's going to be the Yad of the Klipa that was sent to destroy the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add the pasuk at the beginning of Eicha into the picture, it is mashlim in the picture. It says, Yodo Paras Tsar Al Kol Machmadeha. Author of Eicha, that's Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he refers to a Yad. He doesn't tell you what this Yad is and who is this Yad, but it's paras, it is spread over Machmadeh, means the Beis HaMikdash, through the Tsar. It's the Tsar, the enemy of the Jewish people, that takes this Yad and controls the Beis HaMikdash. The remez here, according to Baal Shem Tov, is that this Yad, which is Paras Tsar, takes the Maftechas of the Heichal, which was thrown up by the Pirkei Kuno, and it uses that those Maftechos to be Machriv the Beis HaMikdash by giving those Maftechos over to Nebuchadnezzar. And therefore, David HaMelech claims that Yomru Geuli Hashem, Asher Gola Miyatzar, that at the time of the ultimate Geula, the redemption, will be able to state and praise Hashem because He gives us the ability to take away the Yad Tzar. And we can add to this the Tachnun, which we recite twice weekly, Ad Masai Uzcha B'Shevi V'Tif'artecha B'Yad Tzar. We decry and we bemoan the situation that your oz, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Teferis, or the oz of Hashem, as David HaMelech says, oz v'teferis b'mikdasho, that oz has been taken captive. It's b'shevi. How long is this going to go on? How long can the Teferis, the Beis HaMikdash, be b'yad tsar, be under the control of this yad, of this klipa, this pisas yad that took away the maftechos? Ad Masai Uzcha B'Shevi V'Tefaratcha B'Yad Tzar. David HaMelech cries out, how long would this situation continue where your Beis HaMikdash is B'Yad Tzar, it's in the hands of this enemy, the Yado Shel Klipa? And that's what we say, Mipnei Hayad Shenishtalcha Mikdashecha, that to this day and to this moment the Yad of the Klipa has control over the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we do not have access to the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. Again, a pasuk in Tehillim, Sholchu b'esh mikdashecha v'omer lashon yad al shem yodo paras tsar. Again, the pasuk says that there's a yad that was sent to the Beis HaMikdash, Sholchu b'esh, and it was sent, so to speak, as a power to set fire to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Yad of Paras Tsar. That's the Yad of Paras Tsar, I'll call Machmadeh. We turn now to page 2. Let's talk for a moment about David HaMelech. David HaMelech is called the Melech HaMashiach, and the Zohar says that David HaMelech is Chai Li'olam. He will live eternally. And even when the Melech HaMashiach will be the king, there will still be David, who's alive, the Imben HaMesim, who David Shmo. So David is beyond mortality. And in the Piyut of Hoshana Rabbah, Rabbi Lezer HaKalir hints at this when he says, Ish Tzemach Shmo, who David Biatzmo. When he's talking about the Melech HaMashiach, David himself is there. What does it mean? The Melech HaMashiach is the Rosh Shevet Yehuda, and he's called David. Now, if you take a look at the word David, which is 4 plus 4 plus 6, we're talking about the number 14. So the remez is that the ultimate Geula, when the Goel will come to redeem Israel, and when there'll be a battle against our enemies in which we will subjugate our enemies, that's when the Yad, again the number 14, of the Klipa will be dominated by the and be under the subjugation of Shekhinah. And that's when Shevet Yehuda, represented by the Mashiach, who is Mashiach ben David from Shevet Yehuda, will have the ability to destroy our enemies using the Yad and fulfilling the Brach of Yaakov in Yodcha v'Yorefayvecha, because now the Yad of Klipa, which has been destroying and subjugating the Jewish people, now is going to turn the other way around, and it's going to be used by the Melech HaMashiach, that Yad which is David, to destroy our enemies. And we begin to understand now the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai wrote a super commentary on the Agadata of the Gemara. He's called the Ben Yehoyada. Mm-hmm. And at this Gemara, at the end of Titus, the Gemara speaks about Menashe. Menashe was a king of Israel, and he brought two idols into the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. He was very, very evil, amongst the most evil of our kings.
Wasn't he the son of, or grandson of,
right, that's why
he saw a new war that he didn't want to have children, right, because he was
excellent.
Going to be
that's the Gemara Brachas Bahari Kamshi Rahman Alamali. So as a result of the Tzlamim, these Geshkes that were brought in by Menashe into the Heichal, Nistalka Shechina Mibes HaMikdash. But the destruction of the Mikdash did not happen until about 55 years later. So what happens is that the process of Churban HaBayis is set in motion by Menashe, but the actual fulfillment of that process is going to take place 55 years later. Now, one of the Tzlamim actually falls on another one of the Tzelem, on another Getchka, and it breaks off the hand of that second Getchka. And this, according to the Gemara, is called Ata Ratzisal Achre Beisel Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that one Tzelem wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to postpone the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he has another Tzelem breaking off the hand of the first Tzelem. So the Ben Ish Chai says that the hand of the hand of the Tzelem, was the Sitra Achra. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Klal Yisrael protection against the Sitra Achra. And therefore he postponed the ability of the Sitra Achra to use that Yad to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Again, there's an entire development here in the words of the Ben Ish Chai about the Sitra Achra and how one idol fights against another idol in order to subjugate the first idol, which was going to use its yad immediately to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And he didn't have to go very far because he was in the Beis HaMikdash. He was placed there by Menashe the king. Mm-hmm. Now let's understand, why is it that the Tzelem on top breaks the arm of the Tzelem on the bottom? And the answer is because the arm of the Tzelem on the bottom is the Yad Shenishtalcha B'Kdashech of the Arizal. It's the Yad of the Sitra Achra, the Klipa. It's the Yad that was given permission to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, if we're going to stop that Yad from doing what it wants to do, if we're going to, at least on a temporary basis, we're going to block the Churban HaBayis, prevent the Churban HaBayis, we have to break off its hand, because the hand is the Yad of Yad Shenishtalcha B'Mikdashecha.
You're saying that the physical hand of the idol was...
It's like a representation
of that Yad
in Shamayim, that's the Klipa, and yeah. it was intent on destroying the Beis HaMikdash, because that's what the Yad can do when the Tzelem was placed there by Klal Yisra, by the Melech.
I see, so by bringing the
so idol, the top Tzelem, which again, somehow the top Tzelem is going to stop the process, not stop the process, but at least delay the process for 55 years, it breaks off the hand of the bottom Tzelem. And if this be the case...
55 is Nun Hei, and it's like, you could say 5 is like 2 Heis.
Excellent. That's a great idea. So Yad, until now we've been using Yad as 14, but now you're saying Yad is also 10 because it's 5 figures times 2.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that Shisha Chadoshim Nis'akfa Shechina L'Yisrael B'Midbar, that as a result of the sin of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the Shechina waited 6 months and delayed the punishment to give Klal Yisrael an opportunity to do tshuva. And the same logic could apply in the case of the Tzlamim of Menashe. Mm-hmm. That although the Tzlamim of Menashe did what they had to do, and they were Megarish the Shechina, which would give the Yad the ability now, free hand, to destroy the Mikdash, but the Shechina decided to stay, to linger on to some extent, and postpone the totals, you know, power and the authority of that Yad of the Tzelem to destroy the Mikdash, because the Shechina wanted to see perhaps Klal Yisrael would utilize this opportunity, this delay period, to do tshuva. So he says that Sibei v'Kodesh Baruch Hu Shatzelem Kofaf Atzmo Tachas Kanfei Shechina V'Shiber Es Yodo Shel Chavero, that the upper Tzelem was able to bow, so to speak, bend itself under the Shechina, meaning to accept the Shechina, and would destroy the arm of the lower Tzelem, which was the Yad of Shenishtalcha Mikdashecha, in order to show Klal Yisrael that if they would do tshuva, God would now postpone the destruction of the Mikdash. If they Yisrael would do tshuva for their sins, then the Shekhinah would control the Yad and prevent the Churban Abayis. So when we say that the upper Tselem destroys the Yad of the lower Tselem, we're meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah is going to destroy the Yad of the lower Tselem in order to prevent or postpone at least the destruction of the Mikdash. And this is a message to Klal Yisrael, they better do tshuva. And furthermore, he says, the Klipa itself can be used now to destroy our enemies because of the bracha of Yaakov Avinu for Yehud of Yodcha B'Yorachai Vecha. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the Yad of the Klipa, and that's going to prevent the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, so too this Yad can become a tool to destroy our Oivim, and all this depends upon our doing tshuva. That's why this period of time called Bein HaMetzorim is identified in the Sfarim as a time for tshuva. Even the word Tammuz itself is a nutrikon for the Zman of tshuva is Mamash Meshubah, and this is the Zman that we have to do tshuva. Now, let's go back to this concept of the Yad Shel Klipa. When the Beis HaMikdash was alive and well, when it stood, it was Kfufa, the Yad was subjugated to the Shekhinah, and Shevet Yehuda could use that Yad as a vehicle to destroy the enemies of Israel. But as a result of our chet, that Yad itself became the tool to bring about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Yad HaShalcha B'Mikdashecha. Let's add a pasuk from the Shira in Parshas Peshach. It says, Yimincha Hashem nedari bakoach, Yimincha Hashem teratz oyev. The Yad is either the Yad Yamin or the Yad Smol. And here we're talking specifically about the Yad Yamin. And that Yamin is going to destroy the Oyev. Rashi says, Yimincha, Yimincha shtei pa'olim. The word Yimincha appears twice in this pasuk, and it refers to both the right hand and the left hand. How so? Kishi Yisrael osu ritzono shel makom. Then even the Yad Smol becomes like a Yamin. And that's Yamin Hashem Nedari Bakar, to save Klal Yisrael, to destroy Klal Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael are not fulfilling the will of God, then the other Yad is going to be the Yad Smol. And Yad Smol always represents Gvura or Din, or judgment, or punishment. And he says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls this world with two yadayim. One yad is called the yad of chesed, the other is called the yad of din. The right hand is always identified with chesed. And that yad is meant to protect the Ovdei Hashem. Mm-hmm. The yad smol on the other, which is midas ha-din, is meant to be stretched out against our enemies mm-hmm. and bring about a punishment for them. So when the Yisrael is osim ritzono shel makom, then they could transform the midas ha-din to midas ha-chesed, and even the yad smol, which is the midah of gvura that's meant to mete out punishment, now becomes the yad yamin. And instead of destroying, it becomes a siyua, a force and a power to protect Klal Yisrael against the midah of gvura, and it will be used to destroy our enemies. As we said before, when Yehuda is doing osim ritzono shel makom, it can take that yad shenishtalcha mikdashecha, the yad of the klipa, and it could use it, and that would be a fulfillment of the bracha of Yaakov Avinu of yad chaborifai vecha, use it against our enemies. So it's really interesting because there are two yadayim, and the yad smol is now being transformed into a yad yamin through our fulfillment of the mitzvah Hashem. So now the chesed is not only coming from the right side, it's also coming from the left side, and that chesed protects Klal Yisrael and meets out the destruction against our enemies. So even the Yad Smol, which is, so to speak, a dangerous mid of Gvura, can now be used lahakos es oyveim, because Yamin Hashem nadar bekoch, Yamin Hashem teratz oyev. There's a double Yamincha here. How can it be two Yamins? And the answer is through our power of dedicating ourselves to the service of Hashem, we're able to transform midas ha-gvura into midas ha-din. I'm sorry, midas ha-gvura into midas ha-chesed. and that means to convert a Yad Smol into a Yad Yamin. So that now the Yad Smol, which is used to destroy the Jewish people, Chas Shalom, is now being used to destroy the enemies of the Jewish people. It's a great chesed, and it becomes the Yad Klipa that's now being used against their enemies. And this is what Klal Yisrael were praying, and were not really praying in the sense of Bakosha, but praying in the sense of Shevach Odoyot HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Yam Suf. And in that Shira, they used a Yemincha twice.
Right.
And if they could use the Yemincha twice, the second Yemincha, which converts Midas HaGvur, Midas HaDin into Midas HaChesed, that's going to be the Yodcha B'Yad Orev, the Orev Ayvecha, which Shevet Yehuda can use that very Yad of destruction, of Klipa, and use it, on the contrary, to destroy our enemies. That's when Yisrael is Osim, Ritzonam, Shalmakom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at a pasuk in Eicha. Goda bechari af kol keren Yisrael heishiv achor yemino mipnei oyev. Yirmiyahu Hanavi is describing a situation in which God's anger is going to cut down keren Yisrael. Keren Yisrael, which means the horns of Israel, represents the keter, you know, the yeah, crown of Israel. And now Hashem says about his Yamin that he's going to take back his Yamin, and he's going to, and it's going to be given over to the Oyev. So the Zohar says that what does this pasuk mean? Silek HaKadosh Baruch Yad Yamino means Midas HaChesed. V'nishara Yad Smol B'li Yamin. If the left hand is left without the right hand, then it's pure control of Gvura, of Din, of destruction. And that's what happened at the time of the Churban HaBayis, as the Pasuk in Eicha indicates, Achor Yamino. He took away his Yad Yamin. There was a removal of Chesed. Once the Chesed is removed, then it's pure Din, and the Yad Smol is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. All this fits into our understanding that the Yad is the Yad of Klipa, and the Yad of that Klipa receives its sustenance from the Mid of Gvura, of Din. As long as it's kafuf under the Ribbono Shel Olam, it will destroy our enemies. But now, unfortunately, the exact opposite took place. We weren't osim ritzono shel makom, and therefore the Yad is not going to be nishtalcha against our enemies, but rather nishtalcha b'mikdashech.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this be the case, perhaps we can understand why we need a tefillin shel Yad. The tefillin shel Yad, the Torah says, is to be placed on the weaker hand. The weaker hand represents the left hand.
Right.
Tefillin shel Rosh, on the other hand, according to the Arizal, represents the greatness of Shekhinah. It's almost as if when we wear the tefillin, according to the Arizal, we become a mishkan of Shekhinah. A person can transform himself into a mishkan. Okay, that explains the tefillin shel Yad. But what about the tefillin shel Rosh? In fact, the halacha, based on the Sugya Menachos, is that tefillin shel Yad has to come first, and only then tefillin shel Rosh. And we never leave the tefillin shel Yad on alone, even when we never leave the tefillin shel Rosh alone, even when we have to remove the tefillin shel Yad. We're not going to remove the tefillin shel Yad until first we remove the tefillin shel Rosh, because the tefillin shel Rosh, the tefillin shel Yad has to be there, so to speak, at all times. So we put it on first and take it off last. What is the tefillin shel Yad all about? So on the one hand, the Ari says that the tefillin shel Rosh, quoting the Zohar, is a fulfillment of the mitzvah v'yosuli mikdash v'shachanti v'solcham. How can we fulfill the mitzvah of building the mikdash? We don't have the ability to build the mikdash. But the answer is we fulfill the mitzvah tefillin shel Rosh, and that is the fulfillment of building the mikdash. And based on the Zohar, the Shalosh says that we have the ability to transform ourselves into a Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all symbolically represented by the Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is the Kiyum of Yosuli Mikdash, Vishachanti, Vishokham, and the Shekhinah is Shora in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Now, if you look at the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it has two shinin. One shin is made of three raglayim, and the other is made of four raglayim.
Right.
What is the deeper meaning of this? So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is going to reveal this for us. V'ro ame'artz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Elu Tefillin Shel Rosh. What is going to instill fear in the hearts of our enemies? It's going to be the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Why? The Tefillin Shel Rosh, says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, represents the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for that is because the shin on the right side of the Tefillin Shel Rosh has three raglayim, which correspond to the three avos. On the left side of the Tefillin Shel Rosh, we have a shin which has four raglayim, and that's Keneged Chayos HaKodesh. These are the Merkava that Yechezkel HaNavi, in his vision, he sees them. And these are the Chayos HaKodesh who are specifically designated with the service of carrying the Kisei HaKavod, of moving the Kisei HaKavod when it has to be moved from place to place. Therefore, when the Goyim see the Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is connected and corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash, they become overwhelmed with fear because they realize that this is a time Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim. Right? Now, again, the Beis HaMikdash is not built today, but we have the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and that's the replacement for the Beis HaMikdash. So when the enemies of the Jewish people behold the Jew wearing his Tefillin Shel Rosh, they are instilled with fear because they realize that the Beis HaMikdash is Chai V'Kayim. It's still in existence. You know, the Goyim like to say, well, your HaMikdash is destroyed, therefore you're powerless, and we can do whatever we want with you. But now that we see that the Beis HaMikdash is still standing because they took a look at the Tefillin Shel Rosh, then they get filled. Their hearts are filled with fear. However, as we said before, all this explains the Tefillin Shel Rosh. But God commands us as well in the midst of Tefillin Shel Yad. So what is the message, what is the purpose of the Tefillin Shel Yad? And he says the following. For hayu l'chol yos al yadecha, right? Yadecha is Yad Keha. According to the Gemara Menachos, the Yad Keha is, just one second, Yad, so just one second, where's the hey? Just give me a second here. Al Yad Yadecha. So we're adding the hey, and we're reading it as Yad Keha. Im Os Hey Shremes Al Yad Keha. Yad small. Oh, okay, fine. I got a little bit confused here because I thought when I was reading the hay here, I thought he was referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name of God. No. What he's doing is he's taking Yodecha, right, and the chaf is a longer chaf, but he's making it into a small chaf, and he's adding a hay. By adding a hay, we have a remez that the tefillin should be worn on Yad Keha. Now, for most people, Yad Keha is the left hand. And that's not true for everybody, but
on the weak hand.
But it's the weaker hand, correct. The weaker hand is the left hand. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time of Churban Abayis, we said that the Yad of Klipa, which is the left side, that's the Yad of Gvura, is dominant, it dominates, and brings about the Churban Abayis. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares in Eicha when he says, Hashev Achor Yemino, that he removes his right hand, and now the left hand reigns supreme, has a free hand, as we said before, and now it's going to bring about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does Hashem say to us? He says, you know what? Start with the Tefillin Shel Yad. The Tefillin Shel Yad will be on your left hand. The left hand is representative of the Midas HaGvura. That's the Yad that's going to eventually destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What we're doing by putting the Tefillin on our left hand is Naseis Al Yidei Yad Yemin Midas HaChesed. So he takes the right hand and he wraps the Tefillin around his left hand. The Kshira is done by the right hand, right? The act of Kshira.
Yeah.
That's why, by the way, it says that when you go to the bathroom, you're supposed to wipe yourself with your left hand, because the right hand is more chashuv, it wraps the tefillin. But the tefillin are now on the left hand, and the left hand represents Midas HaDin. So the right hand, putting the tefillin on the left hand, represents the shlita, the koach achna, to be machnia the Midas HaDin through the Midas HaChesed of the Yad Yamin. And that's what it means when we say Yimincha Hashem Nedar Bakol, Yimincha Hashem Teratz Oyev. You remember that the Pasuk repeats the word Yimincha
right.
twice.
Right.
And we said that now the second Yimin is representative of the left hand, but it becomes like the right hand because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to convert and transform the left hand into a right hand, to transform the Midah of Gvura and Din into the Midah of Chesed. And that's going to be a bittul of the Unikas Klipas Ayad, the Yad Shenishtalchu Mikdashecha. So the tefillin is really the secret, the tefillin shel Yad, excuse me, is really the secret to the process of Geula, meaning of converting the Yad Shenishtalchu Mikdashecha, which is the Yad of Klipa that's destroying the Mikdash, into a Yad of Yimincha Tiratz Oyev, that we can use that Yad to destroy our enemies. How does the Tefillin Shel Yad accomplish that goal? It means that the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is on the Yad Smol, means that the Tefillin Shel Yad is being machnia, it's controlling and detonating the power of the Klipa of the Yad Smol, which is the Klipa of Shel Nishtalchu Mikdashecha. And basically, once we put on the Tefillin Shel Yad, we're ready for the Asuli Migdash, right? The Asuli Migdash, says the Arizal, and that's implicit in the Zohar, is going to be the Beis HaMikdash, where we transform ourselves into the Beis HaMikdash. So what we're doing every time we put on the Tefillin Shel Yad and then subsequently put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, is we're bringing the Mikdash down because we've already been able to destroy our enemies. How are we able to destroy our enemies? Because by wrapping the Tefillin Shel Yad on the Yad Smol, we now have Achna of the Midah of the Smol, which is the Klipa that's destroying our Mikdash. And now instead we're going to use that to a Yimincha Tiratz Oyev to destroy our enemies. Well, once we destroy our enemies, now the Tefillin Shel Rosh can be donned on the head, and it's going to be v'shachanti v'socham, because we've now destroyed the Yad Shenishtalchu Mikdashecha. Now we're ready for the Beis HaMikdash. That Yad of the Klipa that destroys the Mikdash has now been subjugated through the Tefillin Shel Yad. And now, if there's no Yad Shenishtalchu Mikdashecha, then it's going to be v'shachanti v'socham. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be Mashre Hishchina. And therefore, as we said before, Bias HaMashiach is identified with David, because David is with the gematria of Yadayim, of Yad, yeah. And referring now to the Yad of Kedusha, meaning the Yad that's going to be used to build the third Beis HaMikdash, because the Yad of Nishtalchu Mikdashecha was subjugated, the left hand, by the right hand, which is the Yad of the Beis HaMikdash. And now we can begin to understand, perhaps, the name of Hashem as Yud Kei. What does that mean? We said that according to the Zohar, quoted by the Arizal, there's a kochav, there's a star up in heaven that has the tzur of a yad, it looks like a yad. And bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, that yad is kofuv tachas kanfei hashchina, and it's used by the Shechina to destroy our enemies. And that's called Yadcha Bi'oref Aivecha, the fulfillment of the promise to Yehuda. The Gemara tells us in Sota, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that Ish V'Isha Zachu Shechina Beinayim, Lo Zachu Eish Al-Chlosam, Rashi says Shechina Beinayim, Sharei Chilek Eshmo B'Shichno Beinayim, Yud V'Ish V'Hei V'Isha. So, the word Ish has a Yud, the Ish of the...
Reading.
I'm sorry. Page 3, left column, a major paragraph that starts after the bold print, the title is Hashchina HaKadosha,
yeah.
And there's a paragraph that starts B'derech
Zu.
Okay. All right, so we have the place.
Okay.
Now, he quotes Rabbi Akiva. The word Ish, referring to the husband, has a Yud.
Right.
The word Isha, referring to the wife, has a hey. If we put them together, Rabbi Akiva says, we have the Shechina of Yud Kei. Lo Zachu, if on the other hand there's no union between Ish and Isha, then Eish Ochlosam. Right? The only two letters that are common to both Ish and Isha are Aleph and Shin, and that's the Eish that's going to burn. So we see from Rabbi Akiva that the name Yud and then a hey is a remez for the Shechina. And the Shechina is called Yud He, right? Ka, we would say.
Right.
And that's the Shechina Beinayim of the Yud of the Ish together with the He of the Isha. So now we go to the Gemara Menachos that says that Ki biyah Hashem tzur olamu, according to the Zohar, the name, I'm sorry, according to the Gemara, the name Yud Kei, if you divide up into two halves, is the Yud and the He. God, Tzur Olamim means He created two worlds, right? Tzur means to create, Milashon Latzur, or Yitzira, and He creates two worlds. How? Well, it depends. If you're talking about the letter He, then you talk about this world. This world is created with a He. If you're talking about the next world, the other Olam of Olamim, that's created with a Yud. The Yud represents the Olam, She'en lo sof, you know, it's an infinite world. The infinite, eternal world is created by the Yud of Yud Ke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yud Ke b'shamayim hechin kis'o, which means that the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reference to Olam Haba. It's connected to Olam Haba. And the Olam Haba was created, as we said before, with the letter Yud. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mashre Hishkina in this world, which is created with the letter He. But ultimately, the Kisei HaKavod is the Olam Haba, which is the letter Yud. Now the Pasuk says, V'yasuli Mikdash V'shachanti V'solcham. So the Baal Tanya writes that this is the word Shechina. What does it mean, V'shachanti V'sofon Shechina? Shechina, he says, is the R, the infinite light of Hashem, when it's Shochein B'tachtonim. So there's an infinite light up in Shamayim. You know, that we have no, you know, less, you know, no, nobody has ever seen a picture of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have the Shechina. The Shechina represents the R down here in the Tachtonim. And it's considered the Shechina, and it's called the Shechina because it represents the name of God, which is Yud Kei. And what the purpose of the Yud Kei and the function of the Yud Kei, that name of God, is to connect two worlds. So I keep a Yah Hashem Tzur Olamim. So we have the Yud and the He. The Yud representing Olam Haba. The He representing Olam Hazeh. And when we put the two together, we have the name Yud Kei. So the Yud Kei is the name of God, which symbolically represents the unity or the union between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Now, the Beis HaMikdash is made up of 15 steps. So when you go up from the Esrus Noshim to the Esrus Yisrael, you have to climb 15 steps. These are the 15 steps that are indicated in the Shir HaMalos of David HaMelech in Sefer Tehillim, and that's in Kapitel number 120, and it goes on, and you'll see there are 15 Malos, and the Levium, they would stand on these steps and they would recite Shira at the time of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the Mishnah describes this beautiful procession or ritual that took place at the time of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the Hasidim and so forth were Meraktim, they had the torches, and they would recite Shiros with Tishpachos, the Levium would play their instruments, various instruments. And all this took place on the Chamesh Esrei Malos, which would take you either up from the Esrus Noshim to the Esrus Yisrael, or the other way around. So we now have a corresponding situation between the 15 Malos of the Beis HaMikdash and the 15 Malos of Kapitel Kuf Chaf in Tehillim. So here he quotes the Maral Miprah. The Maral Miprag says that these 15 steps that were in the Beis HaMikdash represent the name of God, Yud Kei, right? That's Yud Kei is 15. And these letters, meaning the Yud and the Kei, represent the linkage, the connection between Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, because Olam Haba is created with the Yud, Olam Hazeh with the He.
Mm-hmm.
It means the Tesvav Malos, which equal in number 15 to Yud Kei, is a remez on the Shechina, which, as we saw in the name of the Baal HaTanya, is considered Yud Kei, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashre the Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash, Shechanti B'Socham, and that Shechina is represented by the name Yud Ke. So we take the name, the word Shekhinah. We do what we call scramble Scrabble. You remember that's you scramble the letters. So if if you scramble around the letters, then you take the Shin, the Chaf, and the Nun, and you separate it from the Yud and the Ke. Shachan Yud Ke. And that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkin, the Shekhinah of Yud Ke, on the Beis HaMikdash. What is the connection here between the name Yud Ke of God and the Yud Ke Malos, the Tesva of Malos, and the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash? The Levium would stand on these 15 Malos and they would sing the praises of God. They would bring down the Shekhinah to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the letters Yud K, the name of God Yud K. And the Gemara says, Eina Shechina Shora, if you want to bring down the Shechina, you need Simcha, Simcha Shal Mitzvah. That's why the Levim were singing these songs of praise, and with that song bringing Simcha, now you could have the Ashras HaShechina in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when Klal Yisrael finished the Simchas Beis HaShoev, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah tells us in Sukkah they would declare An Uliyah Uliyah Einenu, meaning our Kavana was to be Davek B'Shechina, and Shechina here in the Beis HaMikdash is represented by the name Yud Ke. If this be the case, then as long as the Shechina was shown in the Beis HaMikdash, the Klipa of Yad was Kfufa Tachas HaShechinah. Why? Because the name Yud Ke is the name of God, which is the Shechinah of the Shor al Migdash. So the 15 controls the 14, right? Because 15 is more than 14.
Wow.
So the Klipas Yad is now controlled, it's subjugated by Yud Ke, by the Shechinah HaShechinah. When Klal Yisrael sin, then it becomes Eish, right? Instead of the Ish v'Isha and the Shechina b'Neihem, which is building a Mishkan of Hashem, a place for the Shechina of Yud Ke, instead it becomes Eish. It becomes a fire. And that fire could destroy. So this Yad, which is 14, which is less than Yud Ke by 1, right, which is now controlled and dominated by the Shechina, that's the ability of to use this Klipas Yad to destroy our enemies. But if on the other hand there's no Shekhinah, the Shekhinah departs when we worship Avodah Zarah, then once the Shekhinah departs, the Yad of the Klipa is left uninhibited. There's no confrontation, no one is subjugating it. And the Yad of the Klipa now is going to bring about the destruction of the Mikdash, and that's called Mipnei Yad Nishtalcha B'Mikdashecha. So what do we have to do? Our Eitzah, what our role is to bring the Ashras HaShechinah of Yud Ke, which is going to subjugate the Klipa of Yud Dalet, of the Yad. And once we do that, then the Shechinah Shor B'Neihem is going to give us the ability and the power to take the Yad of the Klipa and use it to destroy our enemies. Now the balance of this essay, which we don't have time for unfortunately today, but you can do it on your own, is about Melcheves HaMolek, because there too we need the Yad of HaMolek to be dominated, because otherwise the Yad of HaMolek is the most dangerous, destructive force in the universe. And in order to control that, we need Ki Yad Al Kes Ka. That's going to be the name of God that's mentioned at the end of Bishalach, Yud Hey. And the Yud Hey, as we said before, is going to control and subjugate the Yud Dalet of the Klipas Yad. And that's what we're waiting for, and that's what we're working towards. That's our hachana for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. It's got to be that we bring back the Shekhinah, we bring back the Yad, we of the Yud Ke, excuse me, that's going to control and subjugate the Yad of the Klipa. And once we accomplish that goal, it's amazing, because what's going to happen is the Yad of the Klipa is now going to be the tool and the vessel with which we destroy our enemies. And at the same time, once we destroy our enemies, then the Shekhinah comes back to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yudalit is controlled by the Tesvav. We can use the Yudalit to destroy our enemies, and now what we have is V'yasuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. And if we can't do that today, right now, to bring the Beis HaMikdash, but what we can do is wear at tefillin. And when we wear at tefillin, we should have in mind that the tefillin shel yad is first, the tefillin shel rosh second. And what this means is that the yad yamin is controlling the yad smol. The yad smol is the yad of the klipah shenishtalchu mikdashecha. And in Birtz Hashem, we should be zochet to see the hashras hashkina, the mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash, the yad of the klipah being converted into a power that's used, as it says by Yehuda, Yadcha v'Oref Ayvecha, and will be zochet to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Yud Kei, the Shekhinah, the Nehrev Yemenu. Amen.